If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This is Training Camp Live with Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Good afternoon, good evening. It is Gabe Ramirez. It is Mark Grody hanging out with you guys for the next hour. Or at least we got Grody for the next hour. You got me until 9 o'clock. Grody, where you at right now, man? Are you flying on a helicopter with Mr. Hallis or McCaskey, or what's going on?
I missed my ride, actually, with the McCaskies today. Usually, yeah, they are more than willing to pick me up and take me to wherever I need to be. But in this case, I am coming at you live from Hallis Hall in Lake Forest, Bears headquarters, and even more specifically, I am in the NFL Network Studios subsidiary here at Hallis Hall,
man.
Where my friend and yours, who's actually a contributor on the Mully and Haw show, Stacey Dales, usually does her work, but she and I worked out a little deal here, a little timeshare for this room, and the timeshare works like this. If she's not here, I'm allowed to use the room.
And then you leave a Giordano's gift card in there, but whenever you leave, huh?
Whatever she needs, man. Whatever she needs to keep me in here, because it's a great room. It gives me a little bit of privacy. And when I want to do the podcast, when I record the Daily Score, okay. I got some cool lighting in here and stuff. I was told, and this makes sense around any kind of cameras, because in here, they have NFL Network on here. There are cameras. There is lighting. The one thing that Stacey Dales told me was, always assume that somebody is listening or watching.
That's the right approach.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we get you for the next hour. We got Anthony Heron here as well.
Can I spend a few minutes?
I mean,
because
listen.
I talked zero Bears with Speaks the entire time. We just complained about the Sox the entire show.
Okay.
Yeah. We've placed the order because I did an Aurelio's read during the show at some point in the last, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes or whatever. So it gave me a taste for pizza. The order has been placed, but I got a little time before I pick
I
it
like
up.
This.
So, and I like you both.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of people I like, but you happen to be two of the people whose company and conversation I enjoy.
Send Grody the bill.
Don't tell Mitch. Don't tell Porth. I'm gonna hang out for a few minutes. Get my Bears fix.
I'll send the bill to NFL Network. They got me covered.
They got the cameras over there.
Send it to Stacey Dale. She's good for it.
Grody. So what? Did
oh
you
yeah,
see?
She's good for it.
Grody, what did you see today, man? In practice, what was going on over there?
Well, first of all, the Bears did practice indoors because of the extreme heat. Smart move all around for the sake of the players and the sake of the media as well. I guess the thing that we saw when we walked into the Walter Payton Center is what we didn't see, and that was around. I'm just guessing because I don't have the exact total, but there were around 20 guys today that did not practice for the Bears. And, you know, start with, you know, some key guys. I mean, there's obviously a lot of guys, too, that you probably don't know and that may not make the roster, all due respect to him, but some of those guys. But most notably is that offensive line-wise, Darnell Wright, the right tackle, was not practicing today. He was present. He appeared to have some sort of bandage around his right ankle, but I did not notice him walking with a limp. He's working with the trainers, walking, doing some work. So it does not appear to be severe, but we have not gotten the full update, which we may get some of tomorrow from Matt Eberflus. Nate Davis was not practicing. Lucas Patrick was not practicing today. Guys like DeMarcus Walker and Yannick Ngakoue and Eddie Jackson and Jaquan Brisker not practicing today. One thing that I did notice today was for the second straight day, Tremaine Edmonds, the Bears' top linebacker, was in ramp-up mode. And if you want to see what ramping up is, because I know that's like sort of the buzzword of this camp, ramping up, I did put a photo, a video, I should say, on Twitter, at Mark Grody Sports, of Tremaine Edmonds ramping up. We talked to him afterwards, and he sounded like he'll be good to go for the first preseason game of the year.
Anthony,
the first real game of the
season. Yeah, and I'm trying to think of teams and what the morale is like after seeing so many injuries to their guys, especially, you know, you start camp on a high note, everyone's healthy, everyone's feeling good, and then all of a sudden you start to see a series of dominoes fall. And I'm curious, like you mentioned, Tremaine Edmonds, you know, ramping it up,
right?
But it's like, do you think the morale down, you know, up there, and you see things like that?
At this point, going into the third preseason game, and especially now with the adjustment they made to the schedule, where there's not four games anymore, so it would be multiple weeks to get healthy between that third preseason game and the start of the regular season. But I think part of it depends. You know, if, like Gross talking about, Darnell Wright limping around a little bit, but not viewed as a long-term ailment. If Lucas Patrick and Cody Whitehair, Nate Davis, if those guys are just kind of a little longer in the tooth, we're vets, but we just got to get our bodies right, but everybody's going to be healthy by the regular season, I don't think there would be a lot of concern. Groats, what's your sense? Because it feels like it, and Cole Kmet, a lot of these, especially offensive injuries, are just piling up, man. How much concern does there seem to be?
Yeah, I didn't even mention the Cole Kmet. I did not see with my eyes the injury of Cole Kmet. You know, he was carted back, you know, from the Walter Payton Center, carted back to the facility, which is not in such a dramatic way necessarily, Gabe, because obviously in any guy that is nicked up in any way, shape, or form, they're not going to make him walk back.
So kind of like my father-in-law when he pulled his hammy up there at Harris.
Yeah.
So not real serious, but worthy of a cart ride. Okay.
Yeah. But who knows? We don't know how serious it is. You know, we did request to speak to Matt Eberflus today, but he did not come down because he will speak tomorrow. So, yeah, we don't really know the extent to which these guys are hurting or what they are. I mean, we do know this. We know that Tevin Jenkins, he's the only guy that Matt Eberflus has changed the prognosis on a little bit. He said that he's gone from day to day to week. You know, guess here is that Tevin Jenkins is going to miss at least one game, maybe several games as well. But if we can, let's go back to Tremaine Edmonds really quickly, because I just want you guys to hear how he sounds during his ramp-up period and how he is sounding about whether or not he's going to play when this thing opens up for real. Here's Edmonds.
Is it your understanding that you're going to be good for week one?
Oh, yeah, I'd be good.
When we see you in warm-ups and going through drills and stuff and running, are you at full speed there? Are you allowed, or the coach is saying, go full speed?
Yeah, I feel good. Like I said, each day I'm taking steps in a positive direction. What that looks like, I guess, from a different lens, all I can do is tell you that I feel good and I'm in a good space.
Yeah, so there's Tremaine Edmonds right there, and that was kind of his demeanor throughout. You know, Big Ant, you brought up the idea, too, that you know, there are guys that are veterans. This is his sixth year in the league. You mentioned, you know, Nate Davis in that boat, Lucas Patrick as well, maybe even DeMarcus Walker and Yannick Ngakoue. And I should point out, there's no sign that Ngakoue has an injury. He is just in getting in football shape mode, so they've gone easy on him. But I do think there is some credence to the idea that a lot of these guys can handle, like, if there's any sign of any kind of injury, whether it's minor, and you know, we are to presume that these are minor, it's like, why not keep them out right now? You know, something like Tremaine Edmonds, though, he had been down for about 3 weeks. It started to get concerning and a little bit disconcerting as well in his case. But I do think that they're looking at a lot of these guys and saying, if there's anything going on, now is the time to keep them down and keep them mending.
I was talking to Spiegs about this a little bit yesterday. I'm curious for you guys' thoughts, where the idea of Justin Fields and the offense at large, and when you look at the Matt Eberflus era, at least in the preseason, when Justin Fields is on the field, the starting offense is out there with him, the starting offensive line, and that makes all the sense in the world. So with several linemen banged up, but the desire that I feel like a lot of us have to get Justin Fields a little bit more preseason work like they did last season, what would be your concern level then with like a banged up or a patchwork offensive line crew? I'll start with you, Gross. I mean, would you still like to see Justin Fields get into the lineup if you don't have the full complement of the O-line out there?
Yeah, I would like to see him still get into the lineup, and I have a feeling he will. I mean, we might find that out tomorrow. Now, I should be clear that Matt Eberflus was asked that a question in that form directly, and he said, the health of the offensive line has to be taken into account. But as we saw in the Justin Fields' first and only preseason game so far this year, they were very careful with their play calling. I mean, the two big plays were passes behind the line of scrimmage. And they were deluxe plays as they turned out, but they weren't exactly challenging Justin Fields. And even if it's just that, even if it's Justin Fields handing the ball off, he needs to be out there. I mean, he needs more. I mean, we've seen this training camp throughout, and overall, it's been average at best. So I would definitely like to see him out there in some capacity, yes.
I mean, if the thought is having Justin out there is to get some sort of game reps or game speed reps, mm-hmm. Then the reality is that you might have some game moments where you got to be running, you know. So
put him in the real fire.
It's a real fire. But I agree with Grody 100%. Right. I think that if he were to come out, even if it was a patchwork offensive line, well, there's just more incentive there to draw plays or call plays, I should say, that have Justin Fields doing a three-step drop and a release. Whether it is a wide receiver screen, hand the ball off, just to get them back, just a couple of little quick ones. Hey, man, if the drive works out, then so be it. And if it doesn't, hey, at least you had a couple more snaps before the start of the regular season, because I think no one would say that, you know, he is a finished product and just ready to go week one.
And yeah, I'll be honest with you. Like, I did not think that today was a great day for the offense in general. And I will say that some of that on this day can be blamed on the volatility of the offensive line and the injuries that, you know, there were two projected starters on that offensive line that were out there today, and that was Braxton Jones and Cody Whitehair. So I will allow some slack to Justin Fields today. But Big Ant, you were going to say.
Well, I think that I agree with each of you that I'm comfortable with Justin Fields being out there, and especially Luke Getsy, Matt Eberflus, they need to take that into account with the play calling, quick passes, screens, moving the pocket. Even if it is a more extended outing for Justin Fields in the starting offense, I would say this. I think all three of us will have microphones in our faces if someone goes out there. Like if DJ Moore is in the lineup as well, and like he messes up his ankle, if Justin Fields takes a hit below the knee like we saw him in the practice against the Colts, if something goes awry, if he plays in the game and his whole offensive line isn't there, there would be plenty of voices, some of them probably at this station, who would criticize the decision if something goes wrong afterwards. So I think it's important to first guess that and say, like, if this is your position right now, it should still be our position afterwards. If we support them playing in the game, then we can't let the results of them playing in the game dictate how we react to it on the back end.
And I think that's completely fair. I think that, you know, if he gets hurt, you know, then, yeah, okay, we'll own it. But I think that when you're looking at the overall development of Justin Fields and what needs to happen, he needs to have as many snaps as possible. And, you know, you talked a lot about that last year, Ant, about how many games he's played and how many you give a particular quarterback in order to really have a fair evaluation of him and his talent level. But that has to do with snaps, too, right? And I think you know, we all want to see Justin Fields looking as comfortable as possible. And, Groats, I know you would agree, that comes from repetition.
100%. And we did get a chance to speak to Andrew Janoco, who is a key guy. He is the quarterback's coach. He's the one that is, you know, he and Luke Getsy are the ones that are closest to Justin Fields. And let me play this progress report for you guys from Andrew Janoco on Justin Fields.
Can you give us an idea of what specific things you'd like Justin Fields to work on before the season starts?
I mean, it's all been the same since we've been here. His timing, his rhythm, his his movement within the offense, and being able to push the ball downfield with accuracy. That's everything we've said since the beginning is we're just going to keep building on and everything we've said and wanted to do since day one.
Do you notice Justin kind of reading and reacting quicker now that he's more familiar with the system and has a firm grasp on it?
Oh, absolutely. I think you've seen him progress. You guys have been in practice every day. I think you've seen a significant difference in where we were last year, and we just have to keep going and reaching for better every single day.
Okay.
You know what, Gabe? I think that part right there at the end, I figured you'd kind of like that final 10 seconds of Andrew Janoco, because he is saying there's been progress, that he is better in this camp than he was in last year's camp. And I just point to you, Gabe, because I know that you have been willing to say, and the several times that you and I have discussed Justin Fields, incremental progress is what you're looking for.
And that's what everybody should want. Like, if you're playing the grand prize game on WGN with Bozo the Clown, you don't go
bring
straight
on that
to eight.
Bike, man.
Yeah, right. You don't go to eight.
Crisp.
You got to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
$50 bill. You gotta, now, y'all remember when it was 50 before it was 100. Eventually, they upgraded that to the crisp, clean $100 bill. It took a minute, but they got
there. Come on, Frazier. Dig into that wallet, Frazier Thomas. Jesus.
So, incremental progress. That's what we want from Justin Fields, and I think that's okay. And I think, you know, I think where we go wrong as fans is wanting Justin Fields to be there right now. And I don't think anyone expected for the Bears to be in playoff contention at this point in this trajectory that they're on. And I would assume that if, again, incremental growth from Justin Fields would then lead to that expectation next year, right? To hold them accountable for that next year, to hold Eberflus, to hold Alan Williams, like those kinds of people in those spaces. But that's not what the reality is. People want it right now, and I think that, you know, we're going to be able to see what that looks like, whether it's with a full offensive line or a partial one, because that's something else that I've been saying, is that the Bears are one injury away from having last year's offensive line. And it's unfortunate that we're here right now, because that's exactly what it sounds like.
And let me respond real quick, because I'm going to head out in a minute so I can get the pizza and get home for dinner and all that.
Smart man.
But just looking at the text line real quick, there's a couple of folks who have concerns basically saying, like, you know, is Justin Fields going to turn into another Terrell Pryor because he's an Ohio State QB? That's from the 815. No, Justin Fields is always going to be a quarterback. Terrell Pryor never had the throwing motion that Justin Fields does. He was an exceptional athlete. He was a very large quarterback at Ohio State. Completely different coaching staff, completely different offensive system. So just the institution, just the university that he plays at, the comparison between the two needs to go far beyond that. If you're going to say, I'm worried about Justin Fields being that guy who played at that institution over a decade before he did. There's another 815 texter saying that your coach, saying that your main coach, saying that you still have to work on the same things, that they find that damning, not encouraging. The thing is, when you're a young football player, when you're an athlete of any kind, you do need to continue honing your skills. You want to continue, like Gabe used the term, incremental improvement. And so to continue to say, we're going to work on the quick game, we're going to work on continuing to make sure that not only is he processing things quickly, but actually getting it to be muscle memory where all the reads mean it immediately comes out of his hands on time, that's not something that you just immediately, you know, remove from the conversation about trying to improve as a football player. Braxton Jones as an offensive tackle, working on the techniques of handling the power rush better, with the post leg, making sure the inside move isn't going to get there, with setting his anchor down, with the inside hand placement to replace leverage against pass rushers. All those things will continue to be a process that football players, that athletes competing at all levels continue to work on to get better at their craft. So just because you've made it to the pros or just because you're going into your second year in the system doesn't mean you're not going to continue working at those same exact things over and over again. Even Tremaine Edmonds, they're going to run the same tackling drills in November that they're running right now, working on pursuit angles, working on dropping your hips, working on getting your head across, working on hawk tackling and getting your arms around the hips. All those things need to continue to be part of the process. So there is never a point, I mean, maybe Aaron Rodgers, as they're talking about it on Hard Knocks, where he's basically like quarterback slash head coach slash offensive coordinator slash team owner.
Right.
That's one thing to get to that point in your career. But there's no reason to be concerned that coaches are talking about as Justin Fields enters his third year in the NFL, that they're saying we're going to continue working on. We are already continuing to work on the same things because there is rarely a point where a quarterback is just this finished product, especially not in his third season. So don't overanalyze that aspect of a coach or a player saying that, yes, there's one thing I heard myself say or that you heard me say months ago or last season or at the start of training camp that continues to be a focal point of improvement right now, because there's no reason to expect any of these guys are finished products already.
Yeah, we want them to be finely tuned instruments. But
and with that,
yeah,
I'm gone.
That takes a little bit. Speaking of finely tuned, take your ass to go get that pizza. Yeah.
There he goes. There goes Big Ant Heron. What a good guy. Big Ant, thanks for jumping. I love it when people just want to jump on. You know, Big Ant, he'll call every once in a while. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
He didn't order
such a good Anthony Heron.
It is. He didn't order us any pizza, but still a good Anthony Heron nonetheless to hang out.
Hey, man, we keep getting ripped off, Gabe. It's like we don't get pizza. We did not get invited to Las Vegas. But you know what? We have each other,
about
and that's what counts.
You do. You're right, Brody. I bought pizza for the guys yesterday. You guys missed it. We because we did a little 10-2 session, 10-2 a.m. And I felt and I'm bummed that you didn't call. You didn't call in or anything.
Wait a minute. Sure. What were you doing? You were on the air last night, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
10 p.m. to 2 a.m. I was doing
all because of the Sox stuff. Because
of Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn. The
fire. I gotcha.
So yeah. Grody was sleeping at that point. But yeah, I got some pizza for the crew, man. It was Alex Kuhn, Sean Sears, the little overtime, Shady Sears.
Oh, that's fun though, man. You know. I actually love that kind of stuff. Those impromptu shows. I've done my fair share of those. Those are fun, man.
Yeah, and then we had a little meditation session afterwards at 2 o'clock. It was great. All right, we're gonna talk more.
Heal yourself.
Yeah, it was just our bodies was just killing us. All right. More Bears discussion on the way, and I am curious about what the mood was in practice. You know, with all the injuries there, what was Eberflus looking like today? Grody will give us the answer. On the other side, it's Training Camp Live. It's Mark Grody. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's 6-7.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
DSW.
birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Need a score.
We're back with Training Camp Live with Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We are weeks away from the Chicago Bears' first regular season game, but that doesn't mean we can't stay up to date with what's happening at training camp. That's why we have Mark Grody here to answer all our questions. Grody, after last weekend's game, all anybody was able to talk about was Agent Bajent. I got word from his camp. That's what he's called now.
Agent Bajent. Oh, from his camp. Oh, did you receive a text message too from the camp?
I just, you know, I have sources too. You know what I mean? I got sources too.
I think we've all received that text, by the way.
Agent Bajent.
But anyway.
Agent Bajent.
Agent Bajent. Agent Bajent. I like it. Tyson Bajent, the Bears' backup quarterback.
Yes. Talk to me about what... talk to me about what people that are up there covering the Bears, what's been their reaction to Agent Bajent and his performance on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody is impressed. As usual, it's difficult to get football coaches to just, you know, they're not prone to hyperbole necessarily when it comes to backup quarterbacks and saying that they're, you know, there's nobody out here that's saying, oh yeah, Tyson Bajent has got it. This guy is going to be promoted quickly and he's a natural and look out for Tyson Bajent. What has happened though, what you could hear in their voices is that Tyson Bajent has opened eyes. He has opened up, including my own. You know, I was definitely ready to discount the guy who I perceive to be the fourth string quarterback behind PJ Walker and Nathan Peterman and obviously Justin Fields. And I think that's something that, you know, I did in part because we've seen this story before so many times. If you either have covered the Bears and have been a fan of the Bears, and I have been both at different times in my life, and I've seen this act before with guys that looked the part and then they weren't the part. But just because of that, I'm not going to say that Tyson Bajent doesn't have it. We'll follow the story and we'll see what happens. Now, I want you to, Gabe Ramirez, I have come up with who I think the Bears QB2, the Bears primary backup quarterback, will be this season. And it was based on what the Bears offensive coordinator Luke Getsy was saying here at Halas Hall today. So I want you to listen to Getsy, and I want to hear your answer first, Gabe, and then I'll tell you what mine is. This is specifically Luke Getsy on evaluating the backup quarterback job, Tyson Bajent versus PJ Walker, on what he looks for in terms of a good backup quarterback.
It's definitely an accumulation of a lot of things, right? I don't think there's any way you can ignore someone's past and not value what's going on in the present as well. Because experience is something that you can't, there's no substitute for that. So all of that's really important. But I think in the end, you know, what's most important is that you're playing at your best when your best is needed. And so right now we're in this phase of training camp and we're evaluating this probably the most. But we'll always lean and reflect on, a guy's past as well, experience or lack thereof.
Mm. What do you think, Gabe?
Yeah, I think when I hear something like that, it sounds very much like we are not taking into consideration what, like, we're super evaluating in the present. Like, you're put in a situation, can you rise to the occasion? And trying to see who rises to that occasion. And then when he talks about, at least this is my interpretation, when he talks about the past, you know, I think he's trying to say, like, you cannot discredit what Bajent has done in his college career. and say that it's there's no value there, right? So in saying I'm going to look at what you've done in the past, you know, whether it's experience or not. So, you know, you're looking at PJ Walker and his 4-3 record in the NFL and the fact that he has competed at that level, but you're also looking at Tyson Bagent and saying, well, damn, he's thrown a bajillion passes for a bajillion touchdowns for a bajillion yards, and, you know, he's done it consistently. So tell me what you think. Tell me what's on your mind when you hear this.
Yeah, and just to add a point to your point, which was a really good one, that also you can't ignore what Tyson Bagent did on that touchdown drive. And even Luke Getsy today said, look, it was one touchdown drive. But you have to look at it. What I heard, though, was P.J. Walker's going to be the backup, because I heard – And we got to hear him expand on this, too, so that informs some of my opinion as well, that experience, I heard the word experience a couple of times, and that was part of the question, too, that experience plays a big part, that, look, Tyson Bagent has looked very good, but when it's lights, camera, action, and it is absolutely full speed, and first stringers want a piece of you, I still believe that P.J. Walker at this moment is the quarterback that is more prepared to handle what is going to hit him or both of them at this level. I mean, we're talking about, you know, any moment, obviously the backup can go into a game. Is as ready as Tyson Bagent has looked to come in those spots in the preseason. I don't think it's realistic to think that he's just ready, lights, camera, action, to put him in a game in a season in which the Bears are expected to try to win. If this is last year, then it's a different story. Is it because the Bears were not expecting to win last year? They lost 10 straight games. So I heard experience, and I think that that's important. I also think that you need that, you know, because the backup is going to be a big part of, you know, I know this from being on the sidelines the last 6 years and, you know, watching those huddles and seeing who's a part of them. Some of the guys that are in the ear of the starting quarterback more than anybody else is quarterback too. It is that guy that is going to be in his ear and is going to be needing to give wisdom and experience. So to me, based on that, not because P.J. Walker has outplayed Tyson Bagent, but because P.J. Walker has seen enough at the NFL level to be a guy who is not going to be freaked out when he has to go into a game.
Yeah, if you go back and watch some of Bajan's plays, I mean, even when he got sacked, it looked very much like a rookie quarterback that was frazzled in a moment. And we've seen that. We've seen that from quarterbacks that we've had on the Chicago Bears that are inexperienced. And, you know, when they rather tuck the ball than take an opportunity, which is something that we welcome here. Don't, you know, turn the ball over. But we know what that sack actually looks like, and you've seen some moments like that. So, I mean, it's a cool storyline. It's something, obviously, that we can talk about here, you know, what that second and third string looks like for the Chicago Bears. But I think, ultimately, they brought in P.J. Walker for a reason. They gave him $2 million this first year for a reason, and it's because they felt confident that he can get the job done, and here we are.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, they haven't really backed off. And again, we can't give too many details. We're at that point in practice. I mean, people should know that we can't reveal everything that goes on in practice like we did during training camp. The rules are that when there is a public audience there, they allow us to, if we want to do play-by-play, we can do play-by-play because the fans are there, and it wouldn't really be fair to the media if the fans could tell you stuff, but we can't. So I have to be a little guarded in what I'm saying, but it does appear in watching the practices the last 2 days that P.J. Walker is not exactly taking a back seat to Tyson Bagent.
Yeah, and I don't think he should. I mean, in the moment, right? I mean, they're going to get another opportunity, right, Groats? I mean, Saturday is going to be a game where they're going to be playing. All three of them are going to play. P.J. Walker, Peterman, maybe even all four of them, right, if Justin Fields gets in there for a series or two. What do you think about the fate of Nate Peterman? Try to make it rhyme.
That's a great question. I mean, I think he is, at this point, I think he's very vulnerable to being not a part of the 53-man roster. We are going to find, as a matter of fact, what's today? Today is Wednesday. We're going to find out on Tuesday. Tuesday is when that roster will read 53 men on the Chicago Bears roster. And man, this, you know, we always talk about what does a preseason game mean. This might tell us about the fate of Nathan Peterman with the Chicago Bears. And if Tyson Bagent continues to impress him, if he has continued to impress him in this week of practice, and he continues to look competent and confident in this game, then yeah, I definitely could see a scenario where Nathan Peterman is cut from this team. Now, I will say, to Nathan Peterman's credit, that the, what was it, a 35-yard pass to Dorrice Fountain in that game where he rolled. You saw it, man. You were doing the post game where he rolls right and he flings it down the field in the end zone to Dorrice Fountain. That was maybe the best pass we've seen in the preseason. For the matter of fact, I don't think I've seen a better pass in the preseason than Nathan Peterman's 30-something yard pass to Dorrice Fountain.
Yeah,
that's definitely in for whatever it's worth category.
I was going to say, it's kind of like, you know, when that guy who's on the fringe and he catches that one, like gets an interception, and you're like, oh, he solidified his spot there. And then he gets cut the next day. And you're
right,
like,
right. Well, it's like, quite frankly, it's like Dorrice Fountain. Had 80-some yards in that game, and he's my guy. But I bet Dorrice Fountain is going to get cut. So to your point, that's a great example with both of those guys.
He's Mark Grody. I'm Gabe Ramirez. This is Training Camp Live. We're going to be hanging out till 7 o'clock talking about nothing but Bears. Then I hang out with you guys till 9 o'clock to, you know, just give you some socks and some Cub stuff. Got some other guests are going to be joining the show. But we are excited. Saturday of another game, Bears with their third preseason finale right before they start the season. And it's going to be a good one. All right, so we're going to talk more Bears on the way. We'll talk about maybe some people, more people who we think are going to get cut from this Bears team. Of course, the final roster needs to be determined August 29th. 3 p.m. Central Time is when they'll be making the cut. So more than likely going to be an extremely active day for the Chicago Bears, as they'll still have first dibs on anybody that's cut. Right, Groats?
Exactly, yeah. They are at the top of the waiver wire list. Remember, the Bears had and traded the number one overall pick. So, yes, when those players float through and they are released or cut or waived injured, whatever the case may be, yes, you are correct. The Bears will have the number one pick in that regard as well.
All right, we're talking cuts. We're talking Bears. We're doing it all after this. It's Training Camp Live with Mark Grody, Gabe Ramirez, here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with Training Camp Live with Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Grody, since teams don't have to break down their rosters to 53 men until August 29th, whereas in years past they had to do it, you know, after every game, do you think it's making a difference? Like, is there somebody that's gotten an extra couple of weeks that you think all of a sudden now has made a way onto the 53-man roster?
I mean, what I was just thinking about was with all of these injuries that have existed for the Bears, it's probably good that they've been able to keep the extra bodies around for training camp. And obviously they would have been replaceable. But yeah, no, I think that that's a fair point, that with guys sticking to the roster, they get a little bit of a longer stay. I would say, generally speaking, though, you're getting down to the point where, regardless of what some of these guys do, they probably, you know, have already been identified as guys that don't have a chance to make the... I mean, we mentioned one of those guys in Dorrice Fountain, unless I'm completely missing something, that, you know, guys like that they know just aren't going to make the team. You know, some of the positions that we had been talking about, like that defensive end spot and what, you know, Terrell Lewis has done. And I asked Terrell Lewis straight up yesterday, I said, do you think you've done enough at this point that you're a lock for the roster? And he said straight up, yes, but he's been around too long to, you know, and he's 3 years previous to this, been around long enough to know that anything can still happen. But again, with the injuries and Yannick Ngakoue not practicing today and still in ramp-up mode, and, you know, Trevis Gipson being kind of iffy as well in terms of whether he is or not he is going to make the roster, and DeMarcus Walker, another one of those guys that didn't practice today, it's hard to have the conversation of the guys that we have been discussing that are on the bubble. How about even like Lucas Patrick, who in Indianapolis, I think it might have been with you, I was speaking out loud, you know, looking at Lucas Patrick and saying, this doesn't look like a guy who's going to put a uniform on anytime soon. Could he be vulnerable to the cut? And now all of a sudden, he's the starting freaking center. And by the way, he didn't practice today.
That offensive line, Grody, telling you, I'm worried about it. it's one thing to add a piece and sign a you know, I don't want to say enough. I don't want to use the word fringe again, but sign another fringe, you know, guard, and then assume that your troubles are have gone away now.
Oh man! Well, here's the good news, Gabe. Definite air quotes. Good news for you and for me, because you know I'm turning into a little bit of a gambler myself at times.
I like this. I like where this is
going.
Hit
the over on Justin Fields' rushing yards going into the season with this offensive line like that. Hey, speaking of running, here another guy, too, that we finally got to speak to today. I don't have any audio handy of him at this very moment, but Deontay Foreman finally spoke to us today.
Yeah, what's up with all these people talking about he might get cut? Come on.
Well, yeah, I think it was actually our colleague, Dan Wiederer, who brought that up as a possibility in terms of it being a numbers game just because of Roschon Johnson and his emergence and the Bears' seeming want for him to accelerate and perhaps be promoted just because, you know, he's their draft pick and all. But yeah, I don't see it. I don't think it's going to happen, but I did think it was an interesting thought from Weedsy. And I guess you said other people have said that as well. But I don't at this point, especially since he was front and center today, and it doesn't always mean anything in terms of people speaking to us. I do think that he starts the season with the Bears as well, especially because we haven't seen Trestan Ebner since that first preseason game when, unfortunately, he got hurt. And I already thought that he was in trouble of potentially making this roster too.
Yeah, that Travis Homer. I mean, you know, guys, they're deep.
Travis Homer. Yeah,
Travis Homer. They're deep in that running back room. So, I mean, I still feel like you need a presence, and Deontay Foreman, you know, is that presence. And if you didn't have him, you know, banking on a Roschon Johnson to be, you know, your secondary back along with, you know, guys we mentioned, Travis Ebner, no one saw anything that you felt like you could point to and be like, oh, okay, well, you're the guy next year. You're certainly on the roster next year. I don't think he made left that kind of impression, but it'd be good to see that, and I'm glad that he was able to speak to some people because he looked like he was running with a purpose last Saturday. Didn't you feel that way?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. I didn't think his production was particularly good, but he was getting the big opportunity for sure. I mean, they're taking a long look at him, and I guess you could look at that as either good or bad, as you know, especially at the running back position. If they're making you vulnerable in a preseason game, that obviously means that they want to see more from you, and obviously you have to field running backs. I'll say this, and I hate saying stuff like this because you know, I don't know if this is even really humanly possible, depending on who you talk to, but Khalil Herbert, he looks faster to me. He looks faster to me, and not just in the game where he had the big burst on the catch and run, but it actually caught my eye today watching Khalil Herbert, because one of the advantages, I guess, of when they're just, because they weren't full pads today, they were just in, you know, helmets and shorts, basically. One of the things that they do when it's touch is a lot of times you'll see the receiver or the ball carrier run the play through. They like to see that. It's part of the fast practice. Like, run the, like, yeah, you've been tackled, you've been touched, two hand touch out here, just run the end zone still. And just watching Khalil Herbert sprint to the end zone, it just really caught my attention today. I'm like, you know, sometimes we don't really think about Herbert's speed, and it's justified because there were a couple times last year where Herbert had big runs and he was caught from behind. Not necessarily shaming that, because look, I mean, cornerbacks and safeties are some of the fastest athletes out there on the field too, so it's understandable. But I can tell you from speaking to Khalil Herbert, you know, just off to the side and stuff like that, the only time I ever saw him angry was talking about getting caught from behind, and he did say that he worked on his long speed with a trainer this year. And maybe I'm just projecting because I have that information in the back of my head. I'm thinking, all right, let's see if he's faster. Oh, yeah, he's faster. But it genuinely caught me today. I wasn't looking for it today. I watched him sprint into the end zone after he had been touched, and he looked like a faster running back to me.
I love it, and I hope we get to see him play a little bit on Saturday. I know all of us are going to be watching it. I'll have your post-game coverage here on 670 The Score starting at 3 o'clock, so make sure you guys are here for that as well. Grody, always a pleasure talking to you. I know you had a long-ass day, so get some rest, brother.
Always good to talk to you, Gabe. We'll see you next time.
And then make sure you check out Grody's podcast tomorrow. Grody, tell them about it. What time does it drop, man? Every morning?
Yeah, every morning. The Daily Score, it drops at about 7 a.m. or so. My producer extraordinaire, Ray Diaz, also the executive producer of the Bernstein and Holmes show, always gets it going at about 7 a.m. And then I will retweet it and post it on my Twitter and Facebook and Instagram as well. We've been doing mostly Bears shows, and that's the way it's going to be throughout this season, because why not? Because I'm out here at Hallis Hall every day, and I know how interested everybody listening is in the Bears. So check it out tomorrow. There will be another Bears episode of the Daily Score, and wherever you get your podcasts, as we always say.
One that we most certainly cannot miss. Mark Grody, appreciate you as always.
Love you, man. See ya.
See you later. Mark Grody, make sure you follow him at Mark Grody Sports. He'll be hanging out 6 o'clock all week, giving us some training camp live coverage. And let me see, tomorrow's the 24th. So yeah, Grody and I will be on the Odyssey app tomorrow, 6 o'clock. So make sure you guys get that as well. All right. Bruce Levine hanging out with us in the 7 o'clock hour. But we do get a chance to talk about some Cubs and some White Sox. How did they do in their games today? We'll discuss after the break. It's Gabe Ramirez right here, hanging out till 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Score.
We're back with Training Camp Live with Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Grody, since teams don't have to break down their rosters to 53 men until August 29th, whereas in years past they had to do it, you know, after every game.
Yeah.
Do you think it's making a difference? Like, is there somebody that's gotten an extra couple of weeks that you think all of a sudden now has made a way onto the 53-man roster?
I mean, what I was just thinking about was with all of these injuries,
that have existed for the Bears, it's probably good that they've been able to keep the extra bodies around for training camp. And obviously they would have been replaceable. But yeah, no, I think that that's a fair point, that with guys sticking to the roster, they get a little bit of a longer stay. I would say, generally speaking, though, you're getting down to the point where, regardless of what some of these guys do, they probably, you know, have already been identified as guys that don't have a chance to make the... I mean, we mentioned one of those guys in Dorys Fountain, unless I'm completely missing something, that, you know, guys like that, that they know just aren't going to make the team. You know, some of the positions that we had been talking about, like that defensive end spot and what, you know, Terrell Lewis has done. And I asked Terrell Lewis straight up yesterday, I said, do you think you've done enough at this point that you're a lock for the roster? And he said straight up, yes, but he's been around too long to, you know, and he's 3 years previous to this, been around long enough to know that anything can still happen. But again, with the injuries and Yannick Ngakoue not practicing today and still in ramp-up mode, and, you know, Trevis Gibson being kind of iffy as well in terms of whether he is or not he is going to make the roster, and DeMarcus Walker, another one of those guys that didn't practice today, it's hard to have the conversation of the guys that we have been discussing that are on the bubble. How about even like Lucas Patrick, who in Indianapolis, I think it might have been with you, I was speaking out loud, you know, looking at Lucas Patrick and saying, this doesn't look like a guy who's going to put a uniform on anytime soon. Could he be vulnerable to the cut? And now all of a sudden, he's the starting freaking center. And by the way, he didn't practice today.
That offensive line, Grody, telling you, I'm worried about it. It's one thing to add a piece and sign a you know, I don't want to say enough. I don't want to use the word fringe again, but sign another fringe, you know, guard, and then assume that your troubles are have gone away now.
Oh man! Well, here's the good news, Gabe. In definite air quotes, good news for you and for me, because you know I'm turning into a little bit of a gambler myself at times.
I like this. I like where this is
going.
Hit
the over on Justin Fields rushing yards. They're going to go into the season with this offensive line like that. Hey, speaking of running, here another guy, too, that we finally got to speak to today. I don't have any audio handy of him at this very moment, but Deonte Foreman finally spoke to us.
Yeah, what's up with all these people talking about he might get cut? Come on.
Well, I think it was actually our colleague, Dan Wiederer, who brought that up as a possibility in terms of it being a numbers game just because of Roschon Johnson and his emergence and the Bears' seeming want for him to accelerate and perhaps be promoted just because, you know, he's their draft pick and all. Yeah, I don't see it. I don't think it's gonna happen. But I did think it was an interesting thought from Weedsy, and I guess you said other people have said that as well. But I don't at this point, especially since he was front and center today, and it doesn't always mean anything in terms of people speaking to us. I do think that he starts the season with the Bears as well, especially because we haven't seen Trestan Ebner since that first preseason game when, unfortunately, he got hurt, and I already thought that he was in trouble of potentially making this roster too.
Yeah, that, Travis Homer, I mean, you know, guys, they're deep.
Travis Homer, yeah.
Yeah, Travis Homer, they're deep in that running back room. So, I mean, I still feel like you need a presence, and Deonte Foreman, you know, is that presence. And if you didn't have him, you know, banking on a Roschon Johnson to be, you know, your secondary back along with, you know, guys we mentioned, Travis Ebner, no one saw anything that you felt like you could point to and be like, oh, okay, well, you're the guy next year. You're certainly on the roster next year. I don't think he made that kind of impression. But it'd be good to see that, and I'm glad that he was able to speak to some people because he looked like he was running with a purpose last Saturday. Didn't you feel that way?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. I didn't think his production was particularly good, but he was getting the big opportunity for sure. I mean, they're taking a long look at him, and I guess you could look at that as either good or bad, as you know, especially at the running back position. If they're making you vulnerable in a preseason game, that obviously means that they want to see more from you, and obviously you have to field running backs. I'll say this, and I hate saying stuff like this because, you know, I don't know if this is even really humanly possible, depending on who you talk to, but Khalil Herbert, he looks faster to me. He looks faster to me. And not just in the game where he had the big burst on the catch and run,
But it actually caught my eye today watching Khalil Herbert, because one of the advantages, I guess, of when they're just, because they weren't full pads today, they were just in, you know, helmets and shorts basically. One of the things that they do when it's touch is a lot of times you'll see the receiver or the ball carrier run the play through. They like to see that. It's part of the fast practice. Like run the, like, yeah, you've been tackled, you've been touched, two hand touch out here. Just run the end zone still. And just watching Khalil Herbert sprint to the end zone, it just really caught my attention today. I'm like, you know, sometimes we don't really think about Herbert's speed, and it's justified because there were a couple times last year where Herbert had big runs and he was caught from behind. Not necessarily shaming that, because look, I mean, cornerbacks and safeties are some of the fastest athletes out there on the field too, so it's understandable. But I can tell you from speaking to Khalil Herbert, you know, just off to the side and stuff like that, the only time I ever saw him angry was talking about getting caught from behind, and he did say that he worked on his long speed with a trainer this year. And maybe I'm just projecting because I have that information in the back of my head. I'm thinking, all right, let's see if he's faster. Oh, yeah, he's faster. But it genuinely caught me today. I wasn't looking for it today. I watched him sprint into the end zone after he had been touched, and he looked like a faster running back to me.
I love it, and I hope we get to see him play a little bit on Saturday. I know all of us are going to be watching it. I'll have your post-game coverage here on 670 The Score starting at 3 o'clock, so make sure you guys are here for that as well. Grody, always a pleasure talking to you. I know you had a long-ass day, so get some rest, brother.
Always good to talk to you, Gabe. We'll see you next time.
And then make sure you check out Grody's podcast tomorrow. Grody, tell them about it. What time does it drop,
man?
Every morning?
Yeah, every morning. The Daily Score, it drops at about 7 a.m. or so. My producer extraordinaire, Ray Diaz, also the executive producer of the Bernstein and Holmes show, always gets it going at about 7 a.m., and then I will retweet it and post it on my Twitter and Facebook and Instagram as well. We've been doing mostly Bears shows, and that's the way it's going to be throughout this season, because why not? Because I'm out here at Hallis Hall every day, and I know how interested everybody listening is in the Bears. So check it out tomorrow. There will be another Bears episode of the Daily Score, and wherever you get your podcasts, as we always say.
One that we most certainly cannot miss. Mark Grody, appreciate you as always.
Love you, man. See ya.
See you later. Mark Grody, make sure you follow him at Mark Grody Sports. He'll be hanging out 6 o'clock all week, giving us some training camp live coverage. And let me see, tomorrow's the 24th. So yeah, Grody and I will be on the Odyssey app tomorrow, 6 o'clock. So make sure you guys get that as well. All right. Bruce Levine hanging out with us in the 7 o'clock hour. But we do get a chance to talk about some Cubs and some White Sox. How did they do in their games today? We'll discuss after the break. It's Gabe Ramirez right here, hanging out till 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card. They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.